Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jake Brown Show here with James Blake. We are at the AKTIV Against Cancer event. James, how you doing, man?
Great. Thanks. It's fun to be here.
Tell us about the event first. And I know cancer, your dad passed away from cancer, and what this event means to you.
Yeah, well, anytime I can help support another foundation that does similar to mine, help cancer research and try to have less families impacted the way mine was, it's my pleasure to help out. Doing what I love to do is playing tennis, and if I can just use that to have a platform to help out and raise some money for cancer research, I'm thrilled to do it. And you know, Active against Cancer is a great cause, and happy to be a part of it once they asked me.
And these guys playing, you guys just walked by. He was giving you the work a little bit. He was doing his thing.
Yeah.
Are you giving 100% out there? Let me get the right answer right here.
Yeah, he's right here listening, so I better give the right answer. I mean, 100% of all I got left, which isn't as much as it used to be a few years ago, but it's it's fun to come out and do these. So I'm definitely trying to make sure that everyone's having a good time. Whether or not I play my best isn't as important as everyone having a good time. And that's sort of the theme a lot of times nowadays is make sure everyone's having fun. And the crowd's getting into it, and you're doing your best to show a little personality. Not something we maybe didn't have the opportunity to do as much when we were on tour, just so focused on winning and losing.
If you were asked to go back and play now, what would your reaction be?
I need a new shoulder. I need someone to replace that, maybe a few cortisone shots or something to get my shoulder back. But other than that, actually, my body feels pretty good. I still feel like I can run. I can move all right. I don't practice nearly the same, so it's not like the skills are quite there, but that would just take time. And the big thing is my shoulder and the ability to travel and recover. That's what changed as you get older. I can't recover the same. I could go out and play one match, but I can't play two or three or four in a week.
But you are using your hands in other ways. You're writing, and you wrote a book, Ways of Grace. Tell us about the book.
Well, it was something that I never really planned on writing a second book after my first one, and I just had an incident happen to me with the New York Police Department here about 2 years ago, and it made me realize that I have a voice and I should use it for a good cause, and I wanted to show people that athletes are more than just what you see for the 2 hours or 3 hours you see them on your TV, that they have a social conscience and they can make an impact on society, and a positive impact. There's too many stories in the press about negative implications with athletes, and now I wanted to show that there's a lot that to do positive things, that have a reason and a purpose bigger than sports. And I use my story to kind of weave into the whole story of so many other athletes that are doing much greater and more important things in their lives and with their platforms.
One of those athletes, as the event's going on here at NFL headquarters, is Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. What's your reaction to him and now all these other players who are kneeling and sitting for the national anthem?
Well, I think he started a conversation, and I think it's extremely important to have that conversation about police brutality, about African Americans and people of color that are impacted much more gravely than others. So I think it was a huge sacrifice, and I think that's something I talk about in my book, is how much of a sacrifice and how much of a chance you're willing to take. And it seems like he's committed to this cause, and that to me inspires me. It inspires me to know that someone possibly gave up $20 to $30 million because he doesn't have a job. It seems like no owner wants to take the chance of hiring him, even though his skills prove that he should be in the NFL. It seems like they made a conscious decision not to hire him, and that can cost him millions and millions of dollars. And at the same time, he put $1 million of his own money towards his Know Your Rights campaign. And you know, I think it's something that should be applauded instead of so many people taking shots at him for the way he did it. The method is what people seem to be talking about, when really it seems like they have the issue with the issue that he's talking about. Because I have a feeling if he knelt for the 22 veterans that commit suicide every single day and their treatment in this country, then people wouldn't have a problem with it, because they wouldn't feel like it's in any way disrespectful to the military. But I just think that some people don't want to deal with that issue, and I think it's a great opportunity for him to get it on the public forefront. And the fact that we're still talking about it over a year after his first protest means that he's done something right, and he did it in a peaceful manner. No one was killed, no one was harmed, no one was injured. He was out there just promoting equality.
one of those guys is Jason Whitlock. I know you're not the biggest fan of him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's entitled to his own opinion. I very rarely agree with it. I think he's someone that likes to just take a contrarian side and feel like taking shots at athletes, especially since he's a sort of a long-suffering, tortured non-athlete. He wants to take shots at some of the people that actually had success with their athletic career and then have used those voices. So, that's the way it is in the media. I mean, people want to have a say and take a stand, and, you know, his stand sometimes is opposed to mine.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to tennis. One match back in your career that you lost that you wish you had back. Is there one that you...
Yeah, I mean, I think about the one with Andre Agassi at the U.S. Open, losing 7-6 in the fifth set, serving for the match. I obviously would have loved to have won that match and gone on to the semifinals, facing my friend Robbie Ginepri. If I had another one, you know, I'd love to be able to do that one over again, but the way it turned out, I think it's great for the sport of tennis.
Looking back at your career, any regrets?
No, that's something I'm really, really fortunate about. I set that as a goal, and I know every reporter in the press conferences hated me because they asked for the goals, and they asked that same question millions of times. What are your goals for this year? What are your goals for today? What are your goals for this tournament? And it's always, my goal is always to have no regrets when I put down my rackets. And when I put down my rackets, I know I gave 100%, did everything I could to be as good and as successful as I could be, while finding a balance of trying to have a life as well. And I felt like I did that, and aside from the regrets of maybe wishing I had more talent or wishing I could have had more success, which to me I think about that as just greedy. So I don't have those real regrets. I did everything I could with the gifts I was given.
Was Federer the toughest guy you ever had to face, and what was the feeling like when you took him down?
Without a doubt, he was the toughest I ever played, and in my opinion, the best of all time. He was the only guy I felt like when I would play my best, I still might not have a chance of winning because he had that extra gear. And when I did finally beat him, it was so special doing it with USA on my chest at the Olympics. I was so proud, and really I'd lost to him so many times already that it seemed like he would always find ways to win, whether I was playing well, whether I wasn't playing well, he would get over the finish line. And for that one, to just not even think about that, just take it point by point and get past the number one player in the world, in my opinion, the best of all time, was a special night. And then to be congratulated by the Dream Team, have notes on my door going back, it made it feel like a team atmosphere at the Olympics.
What was it like being number one in the world? Top five in the world, you're number one in the U.S.
Yeah.
After everything, that was after everything you went through, right?
Yeah.
It was a tough year. That must have been incredible.
It was really cool. And, the fun thing about it was that I was with the same coach for almost my entire career, and he was so great about us always putting things in perspective and thinking about where we had come from, what we had done prior to that, and not ever getting too high or too low, trying to not let that affect me too much, but always recognizing that this is something that can never be taken away. So when I finished the year at number four in the world in 2006, we sat on the offseason and said, hey, that's a pretty good accomplishment. Let's keep working to move forward and keep doing better, because you never know what can happen if you keep improving more little things and get better and better. But this is something that you should, you can always be proud of, and you can say that you finished number one American ahead of a Hall of Famer and Andy Roddick. So I was definitely proud of it, but I didn't want to let it affect me and let it go to my head that I deserved it in any way.
There had to have been times where you thought about quitting after that year. I mean, the neck, your dad, everything that happened. How'd you persevere and get through all that?
Yeah, I definitely thought I may never play. In fact, the doctors told me I may never play again. So it was just a time. Actually, that was the first time it ever occurred to me to write a book. That was when I realized I may never play tennis again. What else could I do? First thought, actually, was to write a children's book. So I wanted to try to start doing that. And it didn't work out exactly as planned. And I actually started getting better and improving. My health got better. And once I got back out on the court, the book took a back seat. And then when I started having success on tour, the publishers came back to me and said, hey, now maybe we'd like you to write a book. So it worked out, full circle, that I had already made that inquiry and started the conversation, and then they wanted me to write one. So it was a lot of fun to be a part of that. It was cathartic after my dad passed, and I was just lucky to have that opportunity.
All right, the U.S. Open's here right around the corner. Any favorites you have to win it?
Well, I think there's a lot of question marks. Rafa's performance last couple of tournaments haven't been as good. Roger's back, we're not sure about it. Didn't look good in the finals of Montreal. So if those guys are healthy, amazingly in 2017, they're still the favorites. But with them possibly not at their best, you wonder if it's time for one of the young guys to step up, whether it's Sasha Zverev's turn, whether Nick Kyrgios can stay healthy, whether he can stay in it mentally enough to get through seven matches, three out of five sets. I don't know, but There's definitely some question marks that'll be answered, at least in the first couple matches, to see how Rafa and Roger are doing health-wise.
On the other side, Serena, Venus, mm-hmm. I mean, you played alongside them. Can you speak to how their greatness, and now as they're soon passing the torch on to someone else?
Yeah, I would say soon passing, but I don't know about it. The way Serena talks, she might play for another 4 or 5 years, which is amazing. You know, that their longevity is something that I think is underrated because of their greatness. You know, they talk about how great they are, but they've been on tour for 20 years each, and that's most people can't even do that at any level, and to do it at the top level of the game is truly remarkable, and I wouldn't put it past Serena to have a baby come back and get right back to the top of the world. So it's pretty amazing what they've done, and you know, now with Serena out, Azarenka out, Sharapova, we're not sure her health, leaves the women's draw pretty wide open. Kerber hasn't had that much success this year. Muguruza has been playing much better. Pliskova and Halep both have a chance at number one in the world. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but it shows just the parity when you take out Serena, who had been the overwhelming favorite for so many years.
All right, what happened to our Mets this year? I mean, I was World Series or bust. Everyone gets hurt. Hopefully Terry Collins is gone after the year.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I'm not as concerned about Terry Collins as I am about the training staff. They get so many guys hurt, and it keeps happening over and over, and some of them seem preventable with soft tissue injuries and stuff. So I don't know what they're doing there. But, you know, Syndergaard came back, looked like he was almost too strong. He had been in the gym too much. He needs to go back to just being loose and throwing 99 miles an hour. So I don't know what the answer is. But
Do you know where they're headed? Do you like the moves that were made to kind of rebuild here?
Yeah, I mean, I think at that point of the season, it kind of had to be done. And start looking towards the future, looking towards some of these young guys, giving them opportunities in real game situations. So we'll see. They haven't exactly performed unbelievable, but that's to be expected right when they start. So hopefully next year, if they've got a little bit more experience and we got some of the pitching back. If we have the pitching back, then it's starting to talk about World Series again, but I don't know. I don't trust it quite yet.
And last one, Giants record prediction.
11-5. I was gonna say 10-6. I'm not as optimistic. I'm hoping for 10-6, and I'll be happy with that. I think that might win the division. I don't see the Cowboys running away with it like they did last year.
We'll see now with Beckham's injury if he's out for week one.
He said it'll be okay. I gotta trust him.
James Blake, follow him on Twitter at @JRBlake and go get the book Ways of Grace now. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.